Hello. There we go. That song that we just finished singing, one of them, was what we sang on Thursday night over at Lift Up Red Deer. Brand new song for us. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I get to do communion this morning, and my brother Doug's going to give me a hand here. Just wanted to share with you about this past weekend. We thank you so much for your prayers. So appreciate them. Thank you for my prayers for myself, my physical. I was under the wagon. Yeah, I was under the wagon, all right. Under the weather, yeah, whatever. I was under the wagon. But praise God, and God pulled me through there. I was in a valley, the valley of shadow, you know. I thought I was anyway, but wasn't that bad. Anyway, what I wanted to share with you this morning, just a short note. Jesus' prayer for all of us is that we would become one, even as they are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They're one. When they operate, it's all in unison. And here's God trying to do the same thing with us, bring us into unity. And so last weekend, we had a prayer retreat out east of the city here at Salem Acres. And I tell you, there was such a connection in the Holy Spirit. I tell you, there was just like, holy smokes. It was so blessed. So we appreciate your prayers for that. And you men, for the next one, Lord willing, we're going to have one in September. Same place, Lord willing. Okay? But if you can make it, I tell you, there was a breakthrough Saturday night where you just broke into the heavenly realm. And the presence of God just came and just affirmed every man that was there. Amen? Just touched our hearts. I know I experienced a touch from God, and I needed a touch from God. Amen? So we go to these places because it's a sacrifice. I mean, we could just stay in town, and I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody, but just be aware of this. If you stay in town, going to church on Sunday, it's a commitment. But if we decide to go away for the weekend, and that's a sacrifice for a lot of us. Like, there's so many things to do, right? But I encourage you, men or women, if there's opportunity to go away for a weekend, spend with God, I greatly encourage you to do that. I tell you, the presence of God, God wants an intimate relationship with all of us. Amen? And this is what causes us to thrive and grow and blossom in Him. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. Hallelujah. So a lot of things have taken place since then. I don't know if you guys have been aware of it, but we've been praying for a leader at Lazarus House Ministry. And we put some ads in newspaper from City Light News in Calgary. And I had one call over that, but the guy wanted to live at his house. He was living in Red Deer here. He wanted to live with his wife and just come in, you know, and I just felt it wasn't a good fit. Anyway, we got connected last week. I met this brother, Ray. Friday, I met him before, but here he is Friday morning at the kitchen, and so I seen him there, and of course, their memory bank is all overloaded with stuff from the past, so I says, I know this guy, but I couldn't place him, but anyway, he knew me. To make a long story short, we went away to that weekend, to the men's prayer retreat, and he just got connected with us, and I think it was a Tuesday morning that we had talked with him. Was it Tuesday we had talked with Ray? Do you remember? We talked with him anyway. It doesn't, irregardless. Anyway, he's become the house leader for Lazarus House. Hallelujah. So, pray for him. I told him, I says, I'll mention your name so that you can get prayer covering. So when you pray for Potter's Hands, you're praying for Ray. You're praying not only for me, but the whole works here. Okay, so cover him with the prayer. There's a lot of things that are coming down, and we want that place to grow and thrive. Amen? So, praise God. Okay, so we're going to have communion first. So, why don't we just get up and make a big circle around the sanctuary here. My brothers that are going to help me are going to pass out the drinks and break the loaf. Hallelujah. Good, yeah. Hey.
You gonna want any songs or not?
Could. Yeah, sure.
Retreat was such a success was because a week ago Saturday it was Pesach, Passover, and so that's kind of interesting. When Jesus had the Passover, he said, I've earnestly desired to eat this meal with you before I suffer. And I'm going to read from a passage. It's really one of the most difficult passages in the New Testament, I think. You don't hear people reading from it very much, but John 6, the context of John 6, Jesus fed the 5,000 with the loaves and fishes, and in the beginning, God created a whole lot of something out of nothing. He created the universe, uni in Latin, one, verse, spoken word. God spoke and the whole universe leapt into being. And then he just created a little dinner for 5,000 plus men, women, and children. And then he walked on the water. And then he gives his disciples this. Jesus gives us seven I ams. I am the resurrection and the life, one of my favorites. And in this passage, I am the bread of life. You know, this is just amazing. John 6, I'm not going to read it all. It's like, I really encourage you to read John 6. 71 verses in it. But I'm going to just read John 6, 32. And Jesus said to them, like, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. Just like the woman at the well in John 4. Lord, give me this water so I'll never have to get thirsty again. They just don't get it. They're thinking of physical things. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. This is a really good verse to memorize, John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. I love that verse. That's predestination and free will in one verse, okay? All the Father gives me will come to me, and if anybody comes to me, I will nowise cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And once more, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And I'm going to skip down to verse 47. Most assuredly, I say, he says like three times, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread that came down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, and he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for your bread, Lord. You're an amazing, awesome, faithful, loving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Bible. Amen.
For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of him. Amen. Let's eat. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your blood. Lord God, that without it, Lord God, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. We'd still be living in our sins, conquered by our sinful lifestyle and our sinful ways. But because of your blood, Jesus, you broke the chains, you broke the fetters over our lives, and we were released from captivity by the precious blood of Jesus. So we do this in remembrance of you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We do this in remembrance of the living God. This God that we serve, he's not a dead God. Amen. He's alive. And in these last hours, this is what we're going to be inundated with. There's a lot of people out there that say that they're gods, but we know one thing. Jesus Christ is the only true and the living God. Amen. Amen. So you can go back to your chair.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King.
Love him.
I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice
We have freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We can worship God. God's moving. You know, He's doing some things here that there's been some refining work happening in all of our lives and sharpening, and He just keeps drawing us back to Himself and saying, I love you. And love needs to permeate every part of our being. You need, you know, there's never a question about God's love for us. But the question is, do you love each other? You know, are you feeding the sheep? Do you take care of the sheep? Are you caring for one another? And that's how He's challenging me. He's just really been challenging me. How well do we love? You know, how well do we really care? How busy are we? How much time will we really spend, you know, for each other? And not even just for each other, but for other people who are out there. Yeah, I want to just lead you in prayer and then look at the Word of God. And just again, before we do that, if you're new here, you're wondering about there's new water in the tank, you know, in case you've been, there was like 5-week-old water in the tank prior to this, but there's new water in the tank, so if you want to get baptized today, I got good news, it's clean. And not only will you get clean, but the water itself is clean. We've been leaving this water in here for about 7 weeks now, and this is just an invitation. We leave it as an invitation, and we've had, I think, five or six times that people have wanted to get baptized, and some of them didn't know they were going to get baptized until they came here. The invitation is still a standing invitation. You want to get baptized, at the end of the service, they're going to ask you to come forward, and you can get baptized. We're going to be dedicating Corbin. We're grateful for that. We're looking forward to that, so we're going to do that near the end. Little Corbin, you can give him a big hand. Look at that guy. Yeah. So there's a standing invitation. Jesus said, repent, and you know, or Peter said, repent and be baptized. Just get in the water, and it's the beginning. It is the start. It's not the end. You don't need to pass any tests. You just need to start with Jesus. And if that's something that you're feeling in your heart, I want to start with Jesus. I need a new beginning. Wow. Jesus says, I'm ready for that. Before we open this, let's pray. So God, thank you for your presence here. There's just a real thick sense of the presence of the Spirit of God. We want so much just to be led by you today. And there's some things that we need to talk about that are even hard to hear, hard to understand, hard to put this model of your church into some terms that we can grasp. But we just trust you today because this is your word and this is truth that you'll speak truth to us today. I want to pray especially today for a few people from our body who need you. We think of Sonny, who's in the hospital, who's struggling. God, be merciful to Sonny. God, heal him, we pray. We agree on this, that in the name of Jesus, you will spare his life. God, that you will touch him, that you will remove these blood clots. God, that you will be merciful. We need you. We have no other answer but you. And we trust you, Jesus, that you're the great healer. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for Annie as her sister died this week. God, just pray for her. Pray for your comfort, God. You say in your word that you are God of all comfort. We take you at your word. So right now, just let a blanket of comfort just to pour out, to cuddle with her and remind her, God, that you're in control, that there's so much more to this life than just these years that we spend here, that you've got something better for us, and that you are the resurrection and the life, as we've heard. And we celebrated that when we ate and we drank today. So just for our sister today, yeah, bless her. Put your arms around her, God, and care for her in Jesus' name. And just want to pray for Ricky, too. Thank you for Ricky. And God, we just surround her with love today. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you'll give her health. God, I pray that you'll extend her years. And Lord, she's waiting for a place to move into from the hospital here, and she's healing up, but we just ask you, God, that you'll provide this place, that you'll give her strength, that she will not grow weary or cynical, that you will allow your light to shine brightly upon her, and that your light will brightly shine from her to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A couple people I want to point out to you, because I'm really into this, that we got to get to know each other. That I can talk all morning about, well, like, morning's only 45 more minutes, but I can talk for a while about love and how we got to love each other, and we're going to get into that a bit, but I just want you to know a few people. So there's Jaron. Stand up, Jaron. Jaron got baptized last Sunday. Yep, last Saturday. We walked down that 300, 400-foot cliff, is what it was. So there's Jaron. He got baptized, and there's a new brightness and a joy about him. Amen. Brother, it's Power of God. This guy's got the best name, I'll tell you. Tell us your name. God's Power. God's Power. All right. God's Power, we welcome you. We don't just welcome you. We need you here. So I thank God for the Jesus I see all over your face. And I hope you feel welcome. And we have God's Power. If anyone says, you got God's Power in your church, you say, yeah. Met him, actually. He's a pretty cool guy. Right? God's Power. All right, let's read. Just before we get into Acts chapter 2, I want to just remind you what happened last week. So last week we were talking about how when the angel at the resurrection, he said, come and see. Remember? And what didn't he say? He said, that's right. He didn't say, come and sit. He said, come and see. But that, as a church, for a long, long time, we've been spending a whole lot of time coming and sitting. You know, we come to church, we just find a chair and we sit, when really the command is, you should come and see. And we want to take God at his word when he says, there's something to see. Do you believe that today? That there's actually something to see? That there actually is revelatory power? That Jesus wants to be known and he wants the whole world to see, here I am, you know. So I want to see that. I want to see Jesus. I want to see that he's really alive. We just celebrated it. And he says we can see this. So how? Because I spent too many years of my life not seeing it. I want to see the risen Christ. I don't want to sit anymore. I've sat in churches for a long, long time. I'm done sitting. And it's time that we come and see something. There's something to be seen. Amen? Are you following me here? Because if I'm wrong, I want to know. Like, I'm just reading this. This is what the Bible says. And it says that there should be signs and wonders. There should be things to see. Last Sunday, we did something that I never did before. We put some money. We talked about how different ways that we might be able to see things, and that there's needs that people have, and that there are some people who didn't even have money for food for their kids in this group. So we put, I think, about $600 into, I'm going to call this the blue bowl from now on. So from now on, when I refer to the blue bowl is going to be up here. And where's that? I'm going to just put it right here. And it was a cool thing, because at the end of the service, I think there was probably 8 people or 10 people that just kind of waited in line, and they had time for prayer, and they walked into the room, and 4 mature people from our church, 4 leaders really, gave out money. Which, you know, I know one person who came here last week for the very first time. She hadn't been in church for years. I'm not going to point her out because she's here again today. I don't want to embarrass her. She came to church and she walked out of here with money in her pocket. She came without money and she walked. And I think that is cool, and that's what church should be. All right? So the hard thing is the hard thing is to know how to do this. How do we love each other? The hard thing is to know what model to follow and how to do this in a responsible way. And because maybe giving out money isn't the best thing that we can do. We also had people that, or someone who came up, he wanted $75 and he was in no condition to receive the $75. And the answer was no. Because sometimes the answer is no. So I want to explore this a little further today with you and be very honest right from the outset. And say these words, that I really don't have a clue what I'm doing. All right? So you know that. But I want to listen to God's word. I believe that there's instructions here that we can learn from. So he's going to show us together. And my prayer today is that he'll just lead us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that maybe we've been doing a whole lot of things wrong. As the church, we've been sitting a lot. We've been contributing to institutions and to administrations and to religions. But maybe the model here, and believe me, this model is not meant as a model that's a prescription that we have to follow this letter by letter, because honestly, it didn't work for very long. They didn't have this model of the fellowship of all believers for very many years. It got corrupted quite quickly in the history of the church. But still, there's something here for us to learn. Okay? Let's read it. Starting with Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we read about baptism. This is why we baptize. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 38. And if you don't have a Bible, it's on the big overhead there. So Peter replied, because they asked, what do we got to do? You know, they were cut to the heart. What do we got to do to be saved? And here's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. Hey, Corbin, there you are. For you and your children, and for all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number on that day. Can you imagine that? And then here we get this picture now of what happened in the early church. And this is kind of what ignited things in the early church. There was a fire, okay? There was a Holy Spirit fire. People were united, like Pastor Alvin had talked about. And, you know, there was a love for each other. Like, this is an amazing model. Here's what they did. And so these early Christians, these new believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer, or I should say the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Does that get you excited? Yeah? No? Let me ask you, does that get you excited? John's excited, so thanks, John. Hey, when I read this, I get excited about that. I would have loved to have been a part of that church, that part of that small group that started to grow quickly. And maybe because it grew quickly, you know, there was some corruption and other stuff that probably got into it, and this model didn't last for very long. And so, like I said earlier, it's not exactly that the Bible is saying that here's a model, everyone has to follow it, this is the way it's got to be, get together and sell all your possessions and just share it all. It's not really presented for us as a model that is that we need to subscribe to. But what it's really saying, and here's the important thing, is that it's a model of love. However that looks like for us today in 2016, the message is that we got to love each other, and that the church will have no power. I want you to hear this today. We want to see signs and wonders. I hear people talking about that all the time. We want revival. People nod their heads. We want to see changes. I want to see lives turn to Jesus. I want to see dozens of people get into that tank or down to the river. We got to love each other. And that's really what Acts chapter 2 is talking about. You got to love. And we've got to find out what that looks like. What does it look like that we love each other? What does it look like? In the early church, it looked like this, as it's described. They came together, all of them. They came together and they worshiped and they listened to the apostles' teaching and they were hungry for the word. Are you hungry for the word? Right? They were hungry for God and they all, it doesn't say they gave all their possessions. It says that they gave of their possessions and of their goods, of the things they could make. And by doing so, they supported each other and they met every need. Are we doing that? I don't think about it. Because there's lots of needs, and the reality is a lot of us, you know, don't even know each other. And it's something we've got to really work on, because if we don't know each other, if we're not spending time with each other, if we're not at each other's homes sometimes, or just fellowshipping with each other, because they committed themselves in the early church to fellowship, how are we going to know the needs? I want to just say a few things about this. I got to watch my time a little bit, but I'm going to talk about that. There's no fear, there's no religion, and there's no exceptions. So if you're writing this down and you want to staple this to your fridge later, this is what we're talking about. First of all, there's no fear. When you give like this, when you have that kind of a generous heart, or maybe we're just talking about love, when we love each other, we know what the Bible says, that where there's perfect love, there's no fear. So you don't need to be afraid. They were not afraid. It's one of the things that's outstanding to me about the early church, is they just weren't afraid. They weren't afraid to do this. And this is not about communism or socialism or where everybody, you know, is giving to a government and the government. No, it's not about a government at all. It's not about a church at all. It's about giving to the Lord. Okay? So they were giving to the Lord, and they weren't afraid to give. They weren't afraid to sell some of their possessions if need be. They weren't afraid to make some goods like strawberry jam or rhubarb pie and to sell it and of those possessions to share that wealth with each other. And it's an important thing to just stop and think about. We don't need to be afraid to do this. We don't need to do exactly the same thing, but whatever the love thing is that we have and that we need to show that love for each other, we don't need to be afraid because there is no fear in perfect love. Amen? Amen? And that means, last week, for example, some of you, I almost had to say, okay, I know you have a need. You go, you know, people are, oh, no, I don't need the money. You know, and pretty soon, you know, after a little bit, there was like 8 people standing there, and I thought, well, I don't need to encourage people anymore. We have enough people, and it's going to be all right. But sometimes you got to ask, not be afraid to ask. That's the point. Here's one of the things you don't need to be afraid about around here. If you've got a need, you don't need to be afraid to ask for help. Does that mean we always have a solution? No. Does that mean we can solve all the problems? No. I don't know how to solve all your problems. I don't even know how to solve all my problems. So I have enough, you know, to deal with. Just a sec, Jay. But I do know that Jesus is here to hold us together and to pour his love into us. We don't need to be afraid to ask for help. We don't need to be afraid to give help. You know, maybe you're thinking, well, I can't. I don't have any. I only got $20 in my pocket. I don't know how to give. I'm afraid to give. Don't be afraid. God can do immeasurably more than what you can ever imagine. And if God lays it on your heart, and by the way, I'll get to this a little later, but there's already some money in here. And if you want to do this again today, we're not going to be dispensing it today. I'll tell you why in a minute. But next week, we're going to be doing this same thing. I'll get to that. But if God lays it on your heart, then just be obedient. That's what I'm trying to say. We also don't need to be afraid to say no. Sometimes that's the best answer we have for people. No. If I give you $20, it's really the worst thing I could give you right now. And we don't need to be afraid, is the last part of it, to say, to give people what they really need, not what they're asking for. Right? Because a lot of times, what people think they need isn't what they need at all. And if we read on in Acts chapter 3, we read about Peter and John and someone who wants to receive money. And Peter and John say, no, we have no money. Silver and gold we don't have, but what I do have is this, get up and walk. Right? So we need to not be afraid to give people what they really need, not what they're asking for. The whole point is, let's not be afraid. And I am afraid. So, I mean, even coming here this morning, I'm going, I don't know if I can even preach about this. This is just too radical and too crazy, and I don't know any churches that are doing this, and you're going to suggest that we do some of this stuff. Are you crazy? So there's fear factor in this. Sometimes there's a fear factor. Gee, just let me talk, okay? Sometimes there's a fear factor, even in the fact that we've been burned before. Maybe you have. You've helped people in the past, and all they've done is taken more from you or turned it against you, or, you know, it just has gone real badly. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that either. Don't be afraid of bad experiences. I got some of those too. Don't be afraid. Let's just do what the Bible says that we should do. Let's figure this out. Let's not be afraid. That's really where God's Spirit has been saying to me all week. He says, don't be afraid to present this. Don't be afraid to look at that model and say, so what does this look like for us? Second thing is, so there's no fear, there's no religion. There's no religion. I love it that they gave unto the Lord. They didn't give to the church. They gave to the Lord. And probably, and I'm being a little bit, be careful here, but probably in the history of the church, one of the reasons why corruption came in was because it was growing so fast. And next thing you know, we have 3,000 people, and we need people to take care of these 3,000 people. We need teachers, and we're going to have to pay them, and we need some administration, and we're going to need buildings, and all those churchy things needed to happen. And in a lot of ways, over the last couple thousand years, the church has done some harm to this whole model of how we love each other, because we've been giving to the church and we've not been given to the Lord. And I want to just say this to you today, that whatever you give and however this goes from here and whatever God lays on your heart and however he leads us by his Spirit, you need to give to the Lord and not to the church. All right? And I'm not against the church. I love the church. But we have, because there's so much man involved and we have our own weaknesses, we get caught up in things like, you know, building programs where, you know, if you give $50,000, your name gets put on a silver brick and it gets put in the wall. And, you know, John James, he gave $50,000 with all these other people who have silver bricks on the wall. And that's not giving to the Lord. That's giving to the church. And sometimes, I'm trying to be gentle here, but sometimes the church giving has been self-serving rather than really Christ-focused. You understand? We got to give to the Lord. And we don't give of what we don't have. We give of what we have. What do you got? That's all God said. What do you have? What do you have to offer? What do you have to offer? And it might not be $10,000, but it might be something else, right? So yeah, two working hands. We give to the Lord. We give to the Lord. Thanks, Adam. Point taken, right? Point taken. So I want to just sort of have you understand this, all right? That this isn't about church. This isn't about giving so that you get a tax receipt. Nothing wrong with tax receipts, but it's changed sometimes the way we give them. We just got to give, right? Just give to God, and God will return it to you 10 times. God is faithful. You think you got, and I'm not here to squeeze you for money. I'd never do this, so you know that's true. It's not about the money, actually. We'll get to this in a few minutes. It's about other things. Money's only one thing. But God says, I will return it to you. I will open up the storehouses. I'll open the windows. I'm going to pour blessings upon you. But you've got to stop sitting around. You've got to stop sitting. Why are you sitting? I never told you to sit. I told you to come and see. I told you there was something to see. And when we do this, when we follow this model of truly loving each other, there were many signs and wonders, we're told. Not just one or two, many signs and wonders. People were healed, lives were changed, addictions were broken. Why? Because they loved each other. They loved each other. So understand what was going on here is that they gave to the Lord. They didn't just give to some institution or because they had a dynamic pastor or some big building fund. No, they gave to the Lord and they gave to each other. And here's what was happening. They were actually looking at each other. You know, they're looking in each other's eyes. And oh, I know what you need. I got that for you. And yeah, there you go. Oh, that's what I needed, right? I mean, they actually looked at each other. And they recognize, you know, Nora needs a place to live. And you're getting a place tomorrow, right? Is God good? Yeah. That's good. Yeah. We will never learn how to love each other until we look at each other. And we live in a world where we, you know what we look at? We look at this thing. right? We got to learn to look at each other. We got to learn to love each other. And there are some amazing people here. If you don't know them and you're not loving them, you're missing out. We need to learn about this, and I'm going to give you some more stuff later. I know this is a lot of later stuff. So the second thing is we give to the Lord. You don't give out of what you don't have. You give of what you have. And that's the third thing I want to just briefly talk about this morning, is that there's no exceptions. If you read this, I want you to just listen to these words. They are all-inclusive words. They all devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Everyone was filled with awe, and there were many signs and wonders. And all the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions, they gave to anyone as they had need, every day. Do you get it? I mean, this is all about all and everyone and every day and all things. There is something for you to give. Everyone has a surplus of something. Everyone has a surplus of something. And the thing and the question to ask today is, okay, God, what's my surplus? What do I have that I can give, that I can demonstrate my love? What do I have that I can give? Like you say, two hands. What is the surplus? You have a surplus. And the problem has been is that we think only in terms of money. And so we sit and we go, well, there's these rich people. They'll take care of things. And they'll all put $10,000 and have their silver bricks and whatever, do whatever they're going to do. But I don't need to do anything. I have nothing to give. I have nothing to give. It isn't true. That's a lie. You know, that's a lie. And you need to stand against that lie with me today and acknowledge that you have a surplus. You got a surplus that you don't even know about, and we're going to pray about it this morning, that God's going to reveal that surplus. It might be a surplus of time. Maybe you got time on your hands. Maybe it's a surplus of prayer. You can really pray for people. Or maybe you got a car, and you could go on a Thursday afternoon and drive someone to pick up groceries. Maybe. I don't know. Like, hey, it's not up to me to figure out what your surplus is. All right? That's up to you. I need to look at my own life and say, well, what can I do here? What God do you want me to do? What can I do? What is the surplus in your life? What is that surplus? Someone talked to me a few months ago, and they had a great idea. I love the idea. And they said, you know, we should just have one family or one house every single Sunday that's open. So if we had like 8 different people that had a place where they could serve coffee after church, and then once every 2 months, everyone would have a turn, so that if there are new people coming to church, or people who don't have food, or people who just need to get to know us, we can invite them over, and we, every Sunday we can say, hey, this Sunday, it's Kirsten and Darcy, and if you're lonely and you need lunch, or you just want to get to know some people, stand up. These are the people. I'm sorry, you don't have to do this today, by the way. But it's just an idea. I'm just sharing an idea that someone shared with me. But in doing so, we love each other. We get to include each other. All the people are welcome. And maybe someone's hungry that particular Sunday and we find a way to feed them. Right? So you have a surplus. Maybe your surplus is a surplus of bad events or bad things that have happened to you. I can think of something. Someone's nudging. Someone said to me before, I have nothing to give. All I have is just a whole long history of all kinds of bad things I've done, all kinds of things I regret. I have a surplus. The only surplus I have is a surplus of regrets. And the answer I would have to you is, all right, that's what we need. You know, you got a surplus of regrets. There's people here who need to hear about that. They need to hear how to dodge some of the things you were unable to dodge. They need to hear how you got victory in your life through Jesus Christ, right? So even that, you think that's nothing in your life? That is of great value. Great value. What is the surplus? What is the surplus that you have that you can contribute to the body so that we're really loving each other? And when we do, I'm just going to, here's 3 things it says, that when they did this, and this is why I'm going to do it. That's why I think we're going to do this. Sorry if the leadership doesn't know about this yet. This may get changed in a few weeks, but here's the deal. It says that when we act like this, when we really love each other, then first of all, no one person has too much on their plate. No one person is overwhelmed because we're all engaged. We're all looking at each other. What do you need? You know, not just some leaders or some pastors or some really spiritual people. No, all of us are saying, what does Marcy need? What can I do for her? Or what can I do for Man and Chris? How can I encourage these people, right? There's not one of us that's bearing more than we should. That's the first thing. Second thing, it says that they found favor with the world. And I'm not surprised. I don't know about you. I want to find favor with the world. I want the world. I want people to look at us and go, that is one crazy church, man. I heard about people that go to that church and they walk out with $100 in their pocket. That is one crazy bunch of people, right? There's favor with the world. They're going, you know, these people are not after our money. They're not after building some huge buildings. They're not after anything that's going to be self-serving. They just want to love people. They just want to share Jesus with people. I want that kind of favor. I want it to be so visible, so demonstrative that we're hearing good stories in the paper about how lives are being changed, right? And we're fortunate, we're blessed, we have the kitchen. It's already part of what we're doing, but we can do so much more. We can do so much more. And then the third thing is it says, and that they grew. That the Lord was adding daily to their number, those who were being saved. Can you agree with me today that would be a great thing? That's what we want to do, yeah? Yeah? Come on, give me a shout. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's what we're... If we follow, why can't we believe this? Stan, why can't you believe this? I'll just talk to me. Why can't we believe this? Why is this so hard? If we follow this model, if we really love each other, there's something compelling about this. They're going to see this. They're going to want to come here. They're going to want to be a part of it. And God will add to our number many, many, many. Many who are being saved. Agreed? That's the model of loving each other. That's when we give ridiculously. We give lavishly. When we give because we're giving to the Lord. And I believe that when we do that, there are going to be some... You want to talk about miracles? First of all, it would be a miracle for this to happen. So if this would actually happen, we'd already have our first miracle. But after that, you know, the miracle would be that people's lives are going to be changed. People are going to need to be healed, and we'll have people who can do the healing because they have those gifts. People will be included who are lonely. How many lonely people are out there? Some of you are still lonely, and we just haven't got to know you yet, but be patient. We're working on it. You know, that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be. Amen. And so, next week, here's what we're going to do. I'm giving you warning this time to pray. And the blue bowl is going to be here next week. And we're going to do what we did last week again. Because I just really felt God was saying, okay, great, you did that once. It was sort of a oncer. But it's not going to be just a oncer. So I want you, I believe God wants you, he wants me, to examine our own lives and say, what is the surplus in my life? Maybe you have $10 or maybe you have $100. We're going to, if you have it today, you can put it in here. We want to not just give cash out. So thank you. I'll tell you, I'm going to make a killing doing this. We want to get some certificates so that we're not just giving out cash, maybe some gas certificates, maybe some superstore certificates. I'll tell you, I got into the right profession. You can do it later, okay? You can do it now. It doesn't matter. But that's one thing we're going to do. And I want to, and this could go in so many other directions. This could go in so many other ways. But it's not up to me. It's up to you. What is God laying on your heart? You could almost have a white chalkboard that says on the one hand, the things I need, and the other hand, the things I have. And we could say, I need a lawnmower. And someone writes, I have a lawnmower. You know, I need a ride Thursdays to the doctor. I can give you a ride Thursdays to the doctor. Wouldn't that be cool if we could be that kind of a church? Wouldn't it be cool if people came here and they needed some place to go after church and there's always a place for them to go? I don't know. So I'm not dreaming your dream. That's not my job. It's not my calling. You dream your dream. What is God saying to you? How can you be part of this body and that we can work in such a way that we're actually loving each other? I mean, really loving each other, that we're looking at each other and we see each other's eyes and we meet the needs so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. Amen? Amen. So, okay, I didn't tell you the second part of what was going to happen next week. I'm going to set up a couple tables next week. I know this is just one little thing. And we're going to maybe put them back. No, I think next week we'll put them up here. Bring a food item. Bring some macaroni or a can of cream of mushroom soup that you haven't eaten for 5 years. Put it down. There are, you maybe don't know this. There are some people here who need that food. They really do. And tell people who do need it to come. You can tell your friends. It's okay. Tell them, hey, listen, you want some money? They're going to give out some gift certificates next week. And it's going to be crazy. I know that. It's okay. And they're going to give out some macaroni if you need some food. And that's just the kind of church we want to be. And so none of this really helps or works until we start telling other people about it. So that's definitely a part of it that you've got to do. You got to tell your neighbors, tell people, hey, you got a real need. You're going to come here. You're going to get blessed. You really are. So bring a food item. And I know what you're thinking. Two things you're thinking. You're thinking, it's going to look like a garage sale around here. And my answer to that is, yes, it is. And the second thing, is you're saying, well, there's a food bank already. Why would we need to bring macaroni? And the answer to that is because there's Jesus here. So, and that most people need more than just macaroni and Campbell's soup. They need you. They need us. They need to be a part. This is a really cool thing that God's doing at Potter's. Why wouldn't we want those people to get the same thing we're getting? This community, this love, this Christ-centered approach to life, right? So it's. I love the food bank. I'm glad that people go there. But maybe, and we're not going to have food like the food bank. We might have a table full we can give to people. But I'm excited about doing it because we're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. And we get an opportunity. Yeah, we get an opportunity to bless people and just to shine the light of Christ, right? And that's why, I'm just going to end on this, but that's why one of the reasons why we don't want to just give cash out is we actually, I shouldn't say we, it's, but there's no we yet. Now there will be. Now that you all know this, all your ideas are going to come into this and make this, you know, refine this vision. Because this is what this is. It's a vision. But the vision that God gave me, and some of you know that I had this vision a long time ago, like three or four months ago. I just had this vision, and it's taken this long to speak it out, be honest with you. But the vision is that we don't just give people a gift certificate, but we walk with them with the gift certificate. If they need gas, you know, it's not just, well, here's $20, go put gas in your car. It's, let's go get some gas in your car. You need to make your mortgage payment? All right, I'll meet you at the bank on Monday, but I want to get to know you because it's not just about me giving you money. You need something much more than just your mortgage payment getting paid. You need to know Jesus, and I want to be there at the bank. I want to help you pay it. I want to get to know you. I want you to understand what is special about this community. And that, my friends, is God's word today. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I know what you want, Lord. I believe that you want us to be more like the body, more like the people, more like that early model, and that we're able to maybe sell some possessions. How many of us have too many possessions that we couldn't sell something to contribute to the needs of others? God, I have no idea how this is going to work out. This might only work for 1 week, and then I don't know. It doesn't matter. Except that we would pray, and we join together in prayer for this, that you would reveal what you want, Lord. We want the radical love of Jesus to pour out upon this place, and to just to flow, that we really are loving one another and that we are giving whatever we give, not so that we get acclaim, not so that we get credit, but that whatever we give to the Lord. And that as we give it to you, dispense it. You give it to those who have needs. God, I just pray for clarity in this. Help us to dream this dream together. I pray, God, that you'll make some real clear things happen and that we'll see that you're moving us in a new direction and that in doing so, we're going to see signs and wonders. We're going to see the favor of man, and we are going to see many added to our number for those who are coming to Jesus every day. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen? Okay, one last thing. Next Sunday at 4 o'clock, where's Crystal? Okay, so just so you know, they're coming to our house, okay? 4 o'clock next Sunday. Don't say I never told you. I told you. I just figured that out, okay? So 4 o'clock, we're going to have a barbecue, and it's going to be Surplus Sunday, okay? Next Sunday is Surplus Sunday, and after we come and bring whatever we're bringing, whatever God lays on your heart, let's get together, come to my place. I'll tell you next week how to get there, and then let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Let's get to know each other. If you've never been to our place, it's time you get there. If you don't know very many people here, it's time that you start getting to know us. And I just welcome you to come. We'll provide the hamburgers. I got to do this part. I know this is important. We'll provide the meat and the buns. Please just bring some dessert, chips, salad. She says, okay. 4 o'clock. We'll meet and have some supper next week. Okay. Now we're gonna have a. I know we're running here, and I want to ask you to bring Corbin out. And Paul, are you gonna be baptized today? That's okay. I'm not trying to twist your arm. We'll do it another time. Is there anybody here that really wants to be baptized and you feel that call? That's okay. I'm not asking you to do it again. I just want to give the invitation. Anyone here who's feeling that it's time to get baptized? Paul? I guess the answer is yes. All right, give him a hand. Encourage him. Cool. Why don't you guys bring Corbin up here, and we're going to thank you, Lord. Come and see, right? Come and see what the Lord has done. And in a minute, I will invite you to come up to the front, but once you come up, hey, I don't think we've met. Sam? I'm Stan. And this is Mercedes, right? So I want you guys to meet these folks. So we got Mercedes and Sam and little Corbin, right? Amen. He is a cutie. I don't know, did you want to say anything?
No.
They figure I'm doing a good enough job talking, but it's okay. You don't need to say anything. I know what we talked about before. I had a little talk earlier. They just want their son to be dedicated to the Lord, and we do that. We just want to dedicate him and commit him to Jesus and pray for him. So would you join me in doing that? Can I hold him? Is that okay? Hey, buddy. All right. Let's pray for Corbin. Why don't you come in here, guys? Maybe Tim, why don't you join us? We're just going to surround these folks. Tim, why don't you come up here? And Doug, a couple of leaders in the church, just going to lay our hands on you and going to pray for your family, okay? I know that it's probably safe to say not everything's been easy, right? Yeah. Okay, I want you to know that God's with you. And he knows you're going through a struggle. That's okay, he says. I'm there in the struggle. I'll never leave you. Sam, I'm never going to forsake you, he says. Okay? He sees you as his precious children. So right now, let's just lay our hands on these good folks here and thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, thank you, God. We just thank you, God, that you include us. And that's one of the things you're reminding us of today. You include us, that we're part of your family, that you love us, and that you have a plan, even when things seem like they're a huge mess. You have a great way of turning that mess into something really beautiful. We praise you for that. And I pray for Sam and for Mercedes that you'll bless them. As mom and dad of this precious little boy, that you'll give them harmony, that they will seek you with all of their heart. And Lord, that you'll provide just whatever their needs are, God. I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff that needs to get fixed. And that's okay, because we know that you are fully capable. We just praise you for that. And then right now, God, I just want to hold Corbin up for you, God. This little man is a man of God. Amen. When Jesus was 8 days old, he was dedicated in the temple. And we believe that the children of believers are holy, because the Bible says that. And that God looks at little Corbin and he goes, I love that little guy. He's He's special, you know. And he put him in your family for a good reason. And there's big responsibilities, but there's great joy in it too. So God, we just dedicate Corbin to you. We pray that your hand will be upon him. We pray, God, that you'll smile on him, that you'll be gracious to him, that your countenance will be upon him, God, and that you'll give him your peace, Lord. Oh, God, we pray that you'll set Corbin aside. And these feet, Lord, that are being healed, that you will complete that. In Jesus' name, we pray for complete healing, that he'll be able to walk well. And God, the purpose and the plans that you have for this little man and his mom and his dad, that they will be fulfilled according to your plans and your purposes. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just noticed that, I didn't notice right away that he's got some healing going on his feet. My firstborn son had to have little casts on his feet too, and God healed him.
Amen.
And so I'm just declare that for Corbin, right?
Yeah, Corbin.
I just declare that for Corbin today too, in the name of Jesus. We just agree as a congregation today, the Word of God says that if two or three of you are gathered together and you agree on anything, on earth it'll be done, even as in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So we agree as a congregation that his feet will be completely healed in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Completely healed in Jesus' name.
And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's sing Jesus Loves Me. I think that would be really great. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Hi, buddy. Hi, buddy. Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless you. You know what? It takes courage to do what these guys have done today. So remember them in your prayers this week. I'm giving you lots of homework to do this week, but remember them in your prayers. God bless you. And Paul, you want to come up? Where'd that microphone go? Hey, buddy. Love you. Thank you, Jesus.
I made it.
You did. Yeah. You want to say a few words?
Not really. I guess I
can. I think you do. Yeah.
Good morning, people. I'm Paul. I'm an addict in recovery. And I've been wanting to get baptized for the last couple of years, and I've been praying about it a lot. And I was going to go to Livingstone's church and do it. I've been going to that church for a long time, and I was praying and praying and praying about it for the last couple of weeks, and the Lord told me this is where I need to be. I'm coming from the streets and trying to clean up, and this is where I need to be, and this is where I need to be baptized. And there's a lot of good Christians here, a lot of good people here, and one of these days I'm going to be one.
Hey, buddy. All right. Yeah. Thank you, God. John, would you come up here? John Laurie and Luke, would you come up here? I want you just to pray for our brother here. It's okay if we pray for you, right? This is about a brand new start, and I know you've already started that walk with God, right? I know you have. Amen. So do you guys want to just pray for him? Oh. Thank you, Jesus.
So many words. I know Paul for a long time. We walked and slept in the same alleys, played with the same people, got into the same kind of troubles.
Yep.
I know that bringing the Lord into my life gave me the courage, gave me the strength, and all was real good, and I thought I had it licked, and then Stan offered me to be baptized. And he dunked my head in the river and bang my forehead against the bottom. And all my sins seemed to wash down. And the longer he held me, the more it washed away. So if we can do that for you today, Paul. And
yeah, brand new start.
A brand new start.
Hallelujah.
And not to take away from your parade, but in 4 days, I'm 6 years clean.
So, hallelujah.
So,
amen. Thanks, good. John.
All right.
Luke, thank you.
I've known you for a while, too, Paul. Yeah. And I've watched you go through recovery several times now. Mm-hmm. And I just want to pray for you. Lord, we just thank you for Paul.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for the friends that he has that want to stand beside him and to help him, Lord. But Father, when they're not there, Lord God, you there be there for
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you become his rock and that you become his anchor.
Yes.
And that he can call on you anytime and that you will hear him. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as he gets baptized, that it's just a brand new start for him. And that the power that addiction has had in his life, Lord, that it just be washed down that in the tub, be gone. Yes. He'll struggle no more with it.
That's good. Yes. Claim that guy. Yes.
I thank you for my brother. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Need water? Please start. There you go.
Amen. Come on in, buddy. You got to look at this shirt. It's just that easy. Jesus, right? It's not always easy, but when we have Jesus, that road, you know, the road gets a lot smoother. Amen? Amen. Thank you, God. God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And at the end of Psalm 46, it says, be still and know that I am God. And I just want to point this out. Once again, you guys, once again, we're seeing. Once again, our eyes are open. We're seeing what God's doing. And there's power. You know, God is a powerful God. He's changing lives. When you get in the water, it is about repenting, and it is about surrendering. I repent. I surrender my life to Jesus, and I am going to walk a road that Jesus has paved for me. Right, Paul? That's what it's about. Yes, exactly. All right. Give me a hug. Woohoo! Big hand. We're going to have... Jay is going to get baptized. All right. Amen. So don't run away. Okay, because you need to hear this. Okay, so this is Jay. And Jay, I'm just going to let you speak a little bit about what your story is.
April 21st, I OD'd. a good friend of mine in the building. If it wasn't for him, he revived me. I am now 1 week and 3 days reborn. So I have two birthdays every year now.
Hallelujah.
April 21st, August 23rd.
It's okay. Just want to stay warm. There you go. Give me that.
So I don't know if you all heard that, but April 21st, she OD'd and was brought to the hospital, almost died. But, I mean, God already had a way prepared, right? He already had people there to just to take care of you. Daniel's been there for you there and in the last few weeks as well. So I just want you to know that God loves you so much. And Jay, he saved your life for a reason. And you belong here. I know you hadn't been in church for a long time. But this is home now, okay? It's the family of God. Amen? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I know it's hard. Yeah. Joyce, will you come up here a minute? Just lay your hands on Jay and just pray for her. Will you do that?
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. Thank you that you save us, Lord. Oh, circle her, Lord, with your love. Oh God, draw her unto you. Show her how worthy she is, Lord. God, you see her and you say, you're worthy. I died for you. I died for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, that you just rescued her from the clutches of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Continue to raise her up, Father God. Draw her unto you, Lord. Walk with her daily. Hey, let her know that, Lord. She's loved so much. Walk with her daily in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's good. Amen.
Joy, my King.
you.